Use kindness like a rare coin, carefully and with thought. If you use it too much, it loses its worth. Now picture a world where everything people do, want, and achieve is motivated by pure kindness. This ideal world is full of kindness, and everyone you meet is full of love and care. When viewed against the background of our current unstable world, this beautiful scene almost seems impossible. However, think about this. What if this unrestrained kindness was the very thing that brought this heaven to an end? Through the view of Stoicism, this story takes on a more complex meaning. Stoicism, a way of thinking that values virtue, knowledge, and self-control, teaches us to value kindness, but also to balance it with modesty and reason. To live in balance with nature, as the Stoics did, you had to be aware of its boundaries and the bad things that could happen, even if you had good goals. In this made-up world, too much uncontrolled kindness could cause bad things to happen by accident. This shows the Stoic principle that virtues, like kindness, should be applied with knowledge and balance. Kindness is a trait that is praised all over the world. This is clear from old stories and the writings of important minds. These stories from different times and countries show how kindness can change things. They tell stories of heroes and women who were always kind and conquered problems, brought people together, and spread love. But even with all the noise in the world today, kindness is still the one trait that everyone agrees on, regardless of race, religion, or location. This point of view, which is based on Stoic ideas, makes you think about the balance between being kind without limits and using that kindness in a smart way. But even though it is beautiful and grand, kindness has a side that is often missed. This part, even though its many good points make it less noticeable, can be dangerous if not controlled. People on this side can unintentionally destroy themselves by making them doubt their own worth and taint their soul. This brings us to the main point of our conversation today. Like how too much water can kill a plant, there are times and places when being kind can go wrong, even when our goals are good. Kindness that is too much or in the wrong place can drain our soul and make us feel tired, abused, or lost. It doesn't make sense, does it? Can something that is naturally good turn out to be harmful? This is the exact question we are looking into today. We will go down some dark alleys where being kind can go wrong if it isn't done with care and discernment. The goal is not to scare people, but to make them more aware. Being aware gives you the power to balance, discern, and truly show kindness in its most genuine, effective, and long-lasting form. When looked at through the lens of Stoicism, this conversation becomes more important. Stoicism, which stresses self-control and logical thinking, warns against strong feelings or actions, even ones that are meant to be kind. The Stoics would say that too much kindness without the balance of reason can hurt people and throw things out of whack. They want people to live a healthy life where kindness is matched by self-awareness and useful knowledge. This Stoic view shows how important it is to understand and control our actions, making sure that our kindness is not only well-meaning, but also well-directed and balanced for the good of both ourselves and others. A lot of people might think our research is strange or even controversial. In the end, we live in a world that constantly tells us to be kind. Companies use kindness as part of their business strategies, and schools teach it as part of their lessons. There are a lot of touching stories of random acts of kindness on social media, and companies are using them as part of their branding. It's easy to miss the details that come with the words "always be kind" in this sea of other themes, though. As we go on this trip that will make you think, I want to encourage you to keep an open mind. Additionally, I want to encourage you to think about your own experiences and have a dialogue with yourself as well as with me. Because at the end of the day, our shared goal is to grow as people and gain a deeper understanding of the complex and varied virtue we call kindness. Let's start this trip together to learn about the 7 ways that being kind can hurt you if you don't watch out for them, as well as how to avoid them. It's important to remember that acts of kindness aren't getting weaker. They're getting better, so they can keep being the strong, good force that we know and love. The reasons why people try to please others when they mean well. We've all been in situations like this at some point or another. A friend asks for a favor when we already have too much to do. A co-worker begs for help on a project when we have free time. Or a family member asks us to go to an event when we are mentally worn out. At times when we are having problems inside, our first instinct is to say yes. What is a little discomfort if it makes someone we care about happy or relieves their pain? At its heart, people-pleasing is the constant need to make other people happy, even if it costs the person themselves. It might look like pleasing other people is a good trait to have. Kindness like this shows that someone is ready, doesn't care about themselves, and is kind. That person who goes above and beyond in their duties is often praised by society for the sacrifices they make to meet a lot of duties, promises, and obligations. There is, however, a deeper and more complex web of feelings and consequences that lies beneath this praise that many people don't fully understand until they are all caught up in it. This is what happens when you try to please everyone without stopping yourself. Putting the needs of others ahead of your own may have been done with good intentions, but doing it over and over again may have negative effects on your health. The first tile that falls is often the damage it does to the person's mind and body. An odd yes can quickly turn into a situation that leads to overwork, late nights, not taking care of yourself, and constantly handling many tasks. Things start to pile up before you even realize you're burned out. Some of the minor signs that someone may be suffering from postpartum depression are feeling tired all the time, having mood swings, and feeling more and more disconnected from their hobbies and interests. In spite of this, burnout is only the beginning. When someone keeps putting other people's needs before their own, anger starts to grow. It is normal to feel this way when your personal lines are constantly crossed, even though it is upsetting. The mind starts to wonder, why do I always have to make sacrifices? Or, does anyone notice how hard I work? If this anger isn't dealt with, it can hurt relationships, which goes against the whole point of trying to please everyone. If people-pleasing isn't stopped, on the other hand, one could lose their personality, which is the worst thing that could happen. When people are constantly changing themselves to fit other people's needs, wants, and standards, they lose touch with who they really are. People's interests tend to align with those of their peers. Their views change to fit the group consensus, and over time, it becomes harder to tell the difference between themselves and the people-pleaser character. To get back your independence, you must first be aware of the issues that could arise if you go too far in trying to please other people. Being aware of the problem is only half the battle, though. The biggest problem, on the other hand, is how to put ideas into action. The most powerful tool you can have to fight unchecked people-pleasing is the ability to set reasonable limits. This fact needs to be kept in mind so that you remember that borders are not barriers, but rather rules that help you define your own space, limits, and values. Before you can handle social situations without losing yourself, you need to know what behaviors are accepted and what behaviors are not acceptable. Having clear limits is important, but it doesn't help much if you can't communicate them clearly. No is not a rejection of the person or their request. It is a statement of being proud of who you are. This brings us to no, the strongest two-letter word in English. It means admitting that you would like to help or take part, but your current situation or health makes it impossible for you to do so. Of course, setting limits and saying no to requests can make people feel guilty, especially if they have a past of trying to please others. It is important to remember that saying no does not make someone less valuable or kind. When someone takes care of their own health, on the other hand, they are better able to help and support others in a real and unshakable way when the time is right. Kindness and wanting to make other people happy are important parts of the huge web of human connections. Balance is important, though, as it is with any complicated system. Realizing the risks of trying to please too many people, setting clear limits, and learning to say no without feeling guilty are all things that people can do to make their lives not only pleasant for others, but also very satisfying for themselves. Being kind to yourself is the first thing that needs to be done to be truly kind. Being used for their own gain. Kindness, in its purest form, is a shining example of the human spirit to all people. This element is shown by the helpful hand that lends support, the calm speech that brings peace, and the generous heart that gives without expecting anything in return. On the other hand, this same openness could leave you open to being manipulated by people whose goals are not honest if it is not balanced with wisdom. You might find this hard to believe, but not everyone who offers their hand in gratitude for our kindness wants a relationship based on love. For some people, the only goal is to take. A lot of the time, it starts out slowly. It could be a coworker who always says they need help, but never shows up when they do. Or it could be a friend who often borrows money or things and doesn't give them back. Both of these people are models of people you shouldn't trust. The issue is with a partner who constantly asks for mental support but rarely gives it. As time goes on, these repeated events change from one-time events to a routine that takes advantage of other people's kindness and giving. For people who are regularly taken advantage of, there are a lot of different things that could happen. It is clear that this drains one's mental energy. When someone does something nice for you and you don't return the favor, breaks a promise, or doesn't appreciate it, it can be hard on your emotions. The once unlimited energy and desire for helping others is slowly being replaced by a growing sense of negativity and guardedness. This feeling of energy and excitement is slowly going away. The real loss of means is another thing that makes it hard on the emotions. People who take advantage of others are ready to give up their time, money, and even health in order to get what they want. If you make these kinds of adjustments on a regular basis, you might see losses in your personal goals, your financial security, or your job growth. The most subtle result, though, is a loss of self-worth. Being kind should be something to be proud of, but these thoughts can make you feel bad about yourself and lower your self-esteem over time. If someone takes advantage of your kindness over and over again, it can make you question your own worth, like, am I not worthy of respect? Why do I always end up being used? Or, is there something wrong with me? These thoughts can come back to you over and over again. This being said, what are some ways that someone can keep themselves from falling into the traps of abuse while still wanting to be kind? The first step on the trip is to become aware and accept what is happening. It is very important to be on the lookout for signs of manipulative behavior. Some examples of these are putting the blame on others, making empty vows, using guilt trips, or constantly shifting the goalposts. If you know about these habits, you can tell the difference between real requests for help and attempts to trick them. But becoming aware is only the start of the process. What comes next is the need to use your sense when it comes to interactions. When you regularly look at your relationships, it's important to tell the difference between people who show kindness and those who only take. It doesn't have to mean cutting ties right away. It can also mean changing how open and generous you are based on the type of connection. Open conversation is a very important skill to have on this path of self-discovery. If a trend of taking advantage of others is found, it needs to be dealt with. Sometimes, all that's needed to change the way things work in a friendship is an honest talk. Sometimes the other person is just not aware of what's going on. When it comes to being kind and not getting taken advantage of, having both kindness and understanding is the most important thing. Being kind doesn't mean you have to be blind. You can and should be kind with your eyes open and your mind alert. Not only can being informed, insight, and open communication help people avoid being taken advantage of, but they can also make sure that their acts of kindness are directed toward people who truly respect and value them. Just because someone is kind doesn't mean they should act like an open book whose pages are ready to be torn out. Instead, you should see yourself as a well-organized library that anyone can use. There are clear rules that make sure the information and kindness that are kept inside are appreciated and repaid. People often talk about how important it is to be positive and in a good mood, but we all feel like we need to always be our best and kindest selves. We hold back our true thoughts because of this pressure. This idea is especially useful for people who tend to be kind. There is an unspoken expectation to keep a calm and kind mask on when you are criticized, when someone says something mean, or even when your life is changing. No matter what happens, this assumption will always be there. In many situations, this attitude of always being nice or accepting is great. However, it can become a double-edged sword if it causes people to hold back their true feelings. For many people, putting on this mask is first seen as a way to protect themselves. On the other hand, facing the problem directly could cause conflict or discomfort. Instead, it is easier to smile through the pain or laugh off a harsh comment. This mask will become more solid over time, and it will become an important part of who you are. What started out as a conscious choice slowly turns into a reaction that comes up out of the blue. Our feelings are how our brains talk to us when they are not controlled in any way. To us, they show how healthy we are, what we need, and the limits we have set for ourselves. When we hide these signs over and over, especially the bad ones like anger, grief, or pain, we are blocking this internal communication. There are many effects that happen when feelings are pushed down. A person's body may become more stressed when they try to hold back their feelings. Both the body and the mind use a lot of energy to hide these feelings, which can make you feel tired and antsy, and even give you physical signs like headaches or stomach problems. And the mental toll that is taken is even worse. If you don't recognize or deal with your emotions, they don't just go away. Instead, they stay under the surface and can, over time, lead to a number of mental health conditions, from anxiety and depression to a general feeling of sadness. If someone keeps repressing their feelings, they might have emotional outbursts, which are times when those feelings come out in situations that have nothing to do with the original reason. On the other hand, the most important effect of this denial is how it changes relationships. Being real is the basis of relationships that are real and deep. People can keep others from recognizing, understanding, and relating with their true selves if they constantly hide themselves under the lie of endless kindness. People who aren't honest with each other could end up making interactions less deep and more surface level. Acceptance is the first thing that needs to be done to free oneself from the chains of buried feelings. Being aware of and accepting the fact that having a range of feelings is not only normal, but also helpful is very important. There are times to smile and times to not laugh off something someone says. Communication becomes the guide that helps you find your way through this mental landscape. It's better to show how you feel than to try to hide it. We shouldn't lose control of our anger or let our sadness consume others. Those are not effects of this. The goal is to talk about how you feel in a way that is healthy and helpful. You might not try to hide how hurt they made you feel if they said something that made you feel. Instead, you could say something like, "I value our relationship, and that comment made me feel hurt. Would you be willing to talk about it?" Emotional intelligence training and open communication go hand in hand. Emotional intelligence means being able to recognize and understand our feelings, as well as being able to manage and share those feelings in the right way. In addition, it makes sure that the message is understood instead of just heard by giving people a way to express their feelings without hurting them. A very important part of this journey is surrounding yourself with people who are helpful and who value emotional honesty. Find people you know, like friends, family, or even support groups, who can give you a safe space to talk about your feelings and encourage you to be honest. Getting away from the habit of hiding real feelings is part of the journey towards sincerity. The idea is to accept all of our feelings, including the good and bad, the happy and sad. Building relationships based on deep understanding and connection can not only improve your mental and emotional health, but it can also help you build relationships based on honest communication of emotions and the practice of emotional intelligence. Always remember that real kindness doesn't just mean being nice to other people, it also means being nice to yourself. Part of being kind is letting yourself feel, speak, and be fully human. Going above and beyond. The best parts of the human spirit often want to push the edges of what is possible and go beyond what is acceptable. People with a kind heart feel this feeling even more strongly because they naturally want to help, inspire, and make a difference in the world. Even when they already have a lot on their plates, they often end up asking for work, helping others, or taking on more responsibilities. There is no doubt that these actions are done with the best of intentions. However, constantly overextending oneself can lead to results that were not meant and are often destructive. This happens all the time. A friend asks for a favor when you haven't had a second to yourself in days, or a coworker begs for help on a project when you already have too much to do. When things like this happen, many people want to say yes right away. You might feel this way because you want to be nice, because you want to be trusted, or just because it's hard to say no because it makes you feel bad. Overextending yourself all the time is like drawing water from a well over and over again without letting it refill. It's possible that the first effects won't be seen, but over time, the signs of loss will become clear. Looking and feeling tired is an outward sign of the stress. Wear and tear starts to happen on the body as it tries to keep up with the growing demands on it. The ability to sleep may be disrupted, energy levels may drop, and a general feeling of being worn out may be experienced. It takes twice as much on the mind. When you have too many tasks and responsibilities, you're less likely to get things done. The ability to focus and perform well is harmed in order to meet the need for number, and quality is often lost in the process. It's also possible that feeling inadequate and losing your sense of self-worth over time could be a result of constantly taking on more than you can handle and then struggling to keep up. Being of service and helping others makes you happy at first, but over time, that happiness turns into anger. This anger could be directed at the people you are trying to help, or it could be directed at yourself for not setting boundaries. Being angry at people for doing nice things because you're naturally kind is a strange way to feel. The first step to stopping the loop of overextending yourself is to be aware of your limits. This is not the same as saying you are not good enough or don't have the skills to do anything. Instead, it means understanding that your energy, time, and abilities are limited, just like everything else. So that you can be of service over time, you need to be smart about how you share these resources. Improving your self-awareness is very important in this situation. You should make it a habit to regularly check in with yourself and look at your work, your mood, and your energy levels. If you find that you are constantly tired, worried, or angry, you may be taking on too much. It looks like you might be taking on too much at this point. Being self-aware means being able to say no. Turning down a request or gift does not make a person less valuable or kind. It only means a short pause, which makes sure that when someone does say yes, they can do it with full commitment and speed. Taking care of yourself is another important part of this process. It should be a top concern for you to do things that make you feel good and restore your soul. As examples, a sport, meditation, exercise, or even just pausing could be on this list. Make sure you give yourself time to unwind and recover. Remember that you can't pour from a cup that's not full. Kindness is a deep trait, but it should only be used in small amounts. This is one of the most important things to remember. Not in terms of how often someone is nice, but in terms of knowing when to help and when to leave things alone. There is a sensitive dance that needs to be performed between self-preservation and kindness. By being honest about your flaws, getting to know yourself better, and putting yourself first, you can make sure that your kindness lasts. They can find a balance by making sure that the acts of kindness they do are not just one-time things, but responsibilities that last a lifetime. When we need to approach someone, we're trying to avoid it because many of us don't like it. It makes me think of heated arguments, mean comments, and ongoing stress. That being said, it shouldn't be a surprise that a good number of people, especially those whose personalities make them naturally kind, want to avoid it at all costs. People like this often avoid arguments, hard conversations, and even quietly accepting wrongs in order to keep the peace and make sure no one gets upset. The goal is to avoid making anyone feel uncomfortable or causing a problem. That being said, what if, in the search for endless peace, one unknowingly pays a price that is both quiet and heavy? The problems that led to disagreements don't magically go away when people avoid conflicts all the time. Instead, they simmer down, creating minor undercurrents that affect how people connect, make decisions, and feel. This is because the problems that caused the fights have not been fixed. Putting off necessary conflict can lead to a lot of problems that haven't been dealt with, which is one of the most real effects. You can think of them as invisible limits. They may not be obvious at first, but that doesn't change the fact that they get in the way of real relationship and understanding. Over time, these problems get worse, making people feel disconnected and causing more confusion in their relationships. Also, there is a lot of stress, because there is always something that isn't said, the issue that everyone dances around, or the problem that is clear but is never dealt with. People don't pay much attention to this conflict, but it always shows up. If someone is passive-aggressive, they might act out, or they might have sudden emotional breakdowns, or even physical signs like stress or anxiety. People who avoid necessary conflict miss out on chances to grow as people that go beyond the immediate setting of their relationships. Confrontations, even when they are hard, are what make us grow as people. They do things like teach resilience, improve conversation, and help people understand each other better. You are missing out on the chance to learn these important lessons by avoiding them over and over again. In the present situation, it is very important to tell the difference between conflict just for the sake of conflict and conflict that is good. The first type is annoying and damaging, and it comes from either wanting to be in charge or wanting to be pampered. The second one, on the other hand, is based on the search for understanding, closure, and growth. You don't have to go out of your way to find problems if you want to accept productive conflict. It means you're ready to deal with problems as they come up and would rather find a solution than settle for a short-term peace. The important thing is to not see conflict as a war, but as a place where people with different views can meet and find something they have in common. Communication that is clear and successful is a key part of constructive disagreement. When someone is talking, you need to actively listen to them in order to understand their point of view, feelings, and concerns before you respond. When you don't want to make charges, say, "I feel," instead of "you did." This will help people feel less angry and more open to understanding. If something isn't clear or makes sense, it's better to ask questions to get more information instead of making assumptions. To find common ground, it's helpful to focus on goals or worries that are similar. Then, use these as a base to build on. Realizing that it's okay to have different points of view and being willing to disagree with them. The goal is to learn, not always to reach an agreement. It's possible that dodging the storm will ease the pain of the short term, but this usually leads to problems in the long term. Having the tools of good conversation may help you face it head on, which could lead to better air and stronger community bonds. When it comes down to it, moving toward accepting healthy disagreement takes courage. Things that should be put first are depth over surface-level harmony, progress over stagnation, and real relationship over accommodation. A understanding is the insight that true kindness sometimes means getting into a fight, but not because you want to fight, but so that both sides can grow and understand each other better. Selflessness, which is seen as the best kind of trait in many cultures, will make you feel less good about your own self-worth. We hear stories about people who do amazing acts of kindness and put the needs of others before their own. The main things that make up this virtue are a sincere care for others and a strong desire to make the world a better place. But if you practice this kind of kindness all the time without putting any attention on yourself at the same time, it could destroy your sense of self-worth without you meaning to. If someone constantly puts the needs, feelings, and wants of others ahead of their own, their mind starts to learn that those needs, feelings, and wants are more important than their own. This thought becomes more ingrained over time, which leads to many different bad outcomes. A low sense of self-worth is the most noticeable effect. If you keep putting off your goals and targets, you start to doubt your worth. One feels like they are not good enough or are not meeting standards all the time. You don't just feel this way for a short time. It changes your decisions, actions, and relationships. In this situation, it is normal to feel like you are being devalued. It is possible that you will feel like you don't matter or that what you do doesn't matter while you are dealing with other people. It's possible that these thoughts aren't based on facts. They could just be extensions of the story you've made up for yourself. Also, the opportunities that aren't used show that the person's sense of self-worth is getting worse. You might not go for that raise, work on that dream project, or stand up for what you believe in if you don't look after yourself. To put it another way, the world doesn't see all of your potential because you chose to dim your own light. You don't have to go all the way to the other end of the spectrum and become self-centered in order to accept and recognize your own worth. To find this balance, it's important to find a happy middle where being kind to others is balanced by being kind to yourself. Being kind to yourself is the most important thing on this trip. What this means is that you should love, care for, and understand yourself just as much as you do other people. No matter how small your successes may seem, remember them and be proud of them. Instead of seeing your flaws as signs that you aren't good enough, see them as opportunities to grow as a person. A loving inner voice that lifts you up instead of putting you down is important to develop. On the other hand, work on becoming more bold. You are not being pushy or bossy when you are outspoken. Instead, you are being honest about your needs, feelings, and limits in a way that is polite and clear. Participating in confidence training or workshops may help you get better at this skill. The following steps should be taken to bring self-compassion and confidence into your life. 1. Regular self-reflection. You should make time to think about your wants, goals, and feelings, and then confirm them. 2. When you practice positive self-talk, you question your negative thoughts about yourself and replace them with positive statements. There are 3. Your limits should be clear, and you should let people know what makes you feel good. Your health and happiness are your own business. You can ask for what you need and say no. 4. In order to get feedback, you should talk to reliable family or friends about how they see you, and then compare that to how you see yourself. These might give you some useful information. 5. Put money into your own growth by going to workshops, reading books, or going to therapy. It is possible for tools that help people become more self-aware and confident to change their lives. True kindness isn't a zero-sum game where caring about yourself takes away from caring about other people. If you work on your sense of self-worth and make sure you love yourself a lot, you can do more real, long-lasting, and meaningful acts of kindness for other people. To put it simply, respecting yourself is not selfish. It is basic. In other words, it promises that your acts of kindness come from a place of plenty, not a place of lack, from a place of choice, not duty, and from a place of love, not obligation. In terms of what people value, kindness has been drawn in big, broad strokes across countries and time periods. This has caused a lot of people to get the idea of kindness wrong. But somewhere along the way of translation and perception, the meaning has been reduced, and some tales have grown out of it. A common misunderstanding is that being kind means being passive, weak, or unwilling to stand up for yourself. People believe this a lot of the time. The mistake may have come from a number of places, such as folk tales, where the good-hearted main character is usually shown as submissive and mild, or cultural norms that associate being gentle with being weak. The truth, on the other hand, is much more complex. People who always give in, agree, or stifle their voice may have a lot of problems because of how their kindness is misunderstood. In this case, it's because they believe that being kind means always being passive. Other people might think that you are weak or unable to make up your mind because of this. It doesn't matter if this idea is true or not. It could have real effects, especially in places like the workplace, where clear thinking and power are valued. Putting one's own wants or views on hold over and over again in the name of kindness could also be misread for a number of reasons. Some people, like co-workers, might take it as a lack of belief or energy, while friends might see it as a lack of interest in getting to know each other. One way to look at this is as idiocy. There is a chance that this false belief will make chances less likely, relationships tense, and a sense of self-worth weaker. The problem is not with acts of kindness themselves, but with how they are understood and used. Kindness that comes from the heart is a powerful force that blends care, knowledge, and strength. Kindness is neither weak nor passive. People don't have to hold back from speaking up for themselves or showing how kind they are. Being aware of when and how to use that power with ease and for the right reasons are all things that you should think about. When you help someone in need, you're really becoming strong. If you want to understand, it's smart to know that silence talks louder than words. Being courageous means being strong enough to speak out against wrongs, both for yourself and for other people. Being assertive is the highest form of being kind. There are a few different ways to show strong kindness. A. 1. Learn as much as you can about the differences between being bold, pushy, and passive. Kindness grows in places where people are bold. 2. Clear communication. Be honest and open about your needs, thoughts, and feelings when you talk to someone. To do so does not lessen your giving, but it does make your kindness seem more real. 3. Being kind doesn't mean letting other people cross your lines. Setting limits is an important part of being kind. It is important to protect them and make sure they are clear while still showing respect for other people. 4. To lead with understanding, you need to know how other people feel and what they need. You will be able to handle situations with more kindness and confidence after reading this. 5. Find someone in your life or past who is an example of bold kindness as part of the process of finding role models. Look at what they do to learn from it. The way the story about kindness is told needs to be changed. Being kind is not the opposite of being strong. Instead, it goes well with it. Someone who is kind can be a good boss, a strong leader, and a passionate supporter. They don't use their strength like a sledgehammer, but more like a knife. It's exact, successful, and doesn't put people at risk. Finally, to understand how complicated kindness is, we have to let go of old, one-dimensional ideas. Genuine kindness is not a sign of weakness. It is a source of power and knowledge. This is something that everyone needs to understand. Along our trip through the complicated territory of kindness, we've looked at all of its different aspects, shedding light on the key places where its core may often be misread or misdirected. Some of these touch points are: 1. When talking about people-pleasing too much, both the danger of always wanting approval from others and the need to set boundaries are brought up. 2. To avoid being taken advantage of, you need to be able to spot and safely walk through the dangerous waters where real kindness can be abused. 3. The quiet cost of always putting on a kind mask and the freedom to be honest about how you feel are both called the repression of real feelings. 4. You put yourself at risk of spreading yourself too thin when you overextend yourself. This shows you how important it is to know your own limits. 5. The practice of avoiding needed conflict is talked about in terms of the secret risks that come with avoiding clashes over and over again, and the progress that can be made through positive conflict. This piece talks about the subtle ways that constant self-sacrifice can hurt your sense of self-worth, and how self-compassion can help you feel better. 7. Many people think that being kind is a silent action. This piece will disprove this idea by showing how strong and confident kindness really is. The picture that the textile of kindness made from these threads produces is very clear. Not only should you be kind, but you should also find a balance. It's not just about not caring about yourself. It's also about valuing yourself. Understanding and practicing genuine kindness in a smart way turns it into a strong force that helps both the person receiving the kindness and the person offering it. But, like any other power, it's important to be aware and careful when you use it. Kindness should be like wings that help you fly, not something that weighs you down. It's important to remember that being kind shouldn't cost you your health or your self-respect. Self-care and not caring about yourself go hand in hand in a beautiful way, just like yin and yang. As this part on kindness comes to a close, let us move forward with the strong knowledge that real kindness is not a hint, but a strong word. The act of giving up strength is not what it means. It means showing force. Being truly kind means being able to set limits while also opening your heart, having the strength to stick to your beliefs while also helping others, and having the courage to understand others' feelings without losing sight of your own worth. Be sure to use this as your guide. Kindness does not come from not being strong. It comes from having power that is used with love. This thought should stay with you, and you should use your kindness to be the world's light, a strong sign of hope and humanity.